David, who is referred to as the sweet psalmist of Israel, wrote these words in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a psalm of David, and it's probably a psalm that he wrote later in his life, one where he is mature. He is the king of Israel. But with a vivid memory of his youth, he is thinking about the Lord being his shepherd and what that means. He was now a king. He had been a shepherd, but he was not ashamed of his former occupation. And the 23rd Psalm has been a source of comfort for people who are going through the trials of life, illnesses and diseases, and grief of loss. It's been a comfort for people throughout the ages. Let's take a closer look at this psalm. The Lord as shepherd sustains his people. The Lord is my shepherd, David writes, I shall not want. David thought about God, the God of Israel. As he thought about his relationship with God, he made the analogy of a shepherd and a sheep. God was like a shepherd to David, and David was like the sheep to God. This is a familiar idea throughout the Bible, that the Lord is a shepherd to his people. It is mentioned as early in the Bible as the book of Genesis, where the Lord is called the shepherd and the stone of Israel in Genesis 49 and verse 24. In John 10, Jesus' teaching, he clearly spoke of himself as the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep and who can say, I know my sheep and am known by my own. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, it speaks of Jesus as the great shepherd of the sheep. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25, it calls Jesus the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is a painting, really, a mental painting, a painting using words of Jesus as a shepherd with a lamb in his arms, taking care of that sheep. In Israel, as in other ancient societies, a shepherd's work was considered by many the lowest of all works. If a family needed a shepherd, it was usually the youngest son, like David, who got this assignment, this lowly task. And Jehovah has chosen to be our shepherd, David says. The great Lord of the universe has stooped to take such care of you and me. Take a lowly position. He did not come to be served, but to serve. The shepherd not only feeds his flock, he guides his flock. He governs his flock. He defends the flock, heals, tends to the flock, takes care of them at all cost. He is both protector and physician. The Lord is my shepherd. David knew this in a personal sense, and he could say, my shepherd. The heart of this psalm does not connect with the self-sufficient, but those who accurately sense their need. The poor in spirit that Jesus describes in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 2. Find great comfort in the idea that God can be a shepherd to them in a very personal way. The fact of God's shepherd-like care was the end of dissatisfied need. He said, I shall not want, both as a declaration and as a decision. I shall not want means all my needs are supplied by the Lord. I shall not want means I decide not to desire more than what the shepherd provides. I'll be satisfied with what the shepherd gives. But consider verse 2 on how the shepherd sustains. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Philip Keller wrote, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He writes that sheep do not lie down easily and will not unless four conditions are met because they are timid. They will not lie down if they are afraid in any way. Because they are social animals, they need not lie down if there is friction among the sheep, if flies or parasites trouble them, they will not lie down. Finally, if a sheep is anxious about food or hungry, it will not lie down. Rest comes because the shepherd has dealt with fear, friction, flies, and famine. The shepherd sustains the sheep. When the sheep are relaxed, they are willing to lie down in green grass. He leads me beside the still waters. The shepherd knows when the sheep need green pastures, and the shepherd knows when the sheep needs the still waters. The images are rich with the sense of comfort, care, and rest. Do people truly realize that their sustenance comes from their great shepherd, Jesus Christ? Verse 3, where the shepherd leads and why is what we see in this verse. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, consider this. He restores my soul. The tender care of the shepherd described in the previous verse had its intended effect. David's soul was restored by the figurative green pastures and the still waters the shepherd brought him to. Restores pictures the rescue of a lost one. In Hebrew, the words restored my soul can mean brings me to repentance or conversion. He leads me. The shepherd was a guide. The sheep didn't need to know where the green pastures or still waters were. All he needed to know is where the shepherd was. The shepherd could guide the sheep to what he needed. In the paths of righteousness, the leadership of the shepherd did not only comfort and restore the sheep, but also guide them into righteousness. For his name's sake, the shepherd guides the sheep with an overarching view to the credit and glory of the shepherd's own name. In the name of Jesus Christ, is there a greater name than that? There is not. To display the glory of his grace, and not on account of any merit in me. One day, every knee will bow before the name of Jesus, and every tongue will confess it. It's important that we bow before him now in this life, and it's important that we confess him now in this life. He wants to save us. He was moved with compassion at times because of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were like sheep with no shepherd. They were lost and in need. He wants to save us. We need to realize our need for him and allow him to guide us in life. Allow him to lead us. He will not take us on a path of destruction. He will lead us in the path of righteousness. And the path of righteousness leads to eternal life. We can be with God forever in his house. The fourth verse, the gift of the shepherd's presence is seen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff seem to be two names for one instrument. It was both used to fight off angry animals that were threatening the sheep, but it was also used to direct the sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this life that we're in now, we're in the valley of the shadow of death, but we can do so. We can make this walk without fear of evil, knowing that the Lord our shepherd is with us, and with his rod and his staff, he will comfort me. He will fight off the enemy, and he will direct me in the path of righteousness. The last two verses of this psalm, he goes from talking about the Lord being the shepherd of the sheep to him being the host, as in a great banquet. He writes, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When David became a king, he knew what it was to be a host. And he refers to the Lord, as the great host of heaven. Yes, we see examples of David as king being host in 2 Samuel chapter 9. David shows kindness to a man named Mephibosheth. Before their deaths, David made promises to Saul and Jonathan to show kindness to their family. David called Ziba, who had been a servant of Saul's, and inquired if any of Saul's descendants were still living. And Ziba told him, "Yes, there is a son of Jonathan. His name is Mephibosheth. He's still alive." Mephibosheth was crippled on his feet and had been since a youth. David called Mephibosheth to him and blessed him. He gave him the estate that had previously belonged to Saul and invited him to stay in Jerusalem and eat at his table. Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants, and they were entrusted with the job of cultivating Mephibosheth's land. What a beautiful picture that is of kindness. David being true to his word and the vow that he made to both Saul and Jonathan. Most of the time, in ancient times, kings would have the family, all the family of a previous dynasty slayed. When he called Mephibosheth before him, I'm sure that Mephibosheth was nervous. Oh, this is the end. David's going to kill me. But much to his surprise, David was going to treat him with love and kindness and provide for him and have a table provided for him that he could eat at. This is a picture, a foreshadowing, if you will, of the way Jesus has treated us. Because of him, we can become sons of God, and he will provide for us throughout eternity if we submit to him. In Revelation chapter 3, in the letter that the Lord wrote to the church at Laodicea, in verse 20, Jesus writes, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." God wants to prepare a table for us and us to live with him forever in God's house. That will be, he says, forever. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Please allow the Lord to be the shepherd of your life, to guide you in all things. Trust him with your very soul. When we do this, we make the Lord our shepherd and our King, the great host of heaven. And we can find great comfort in these words of the 23rd Psalm. Don't forget them. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Make him shepherd and king of your life by submitting to his will. God's plan of salvation is found solely in his word, the Bible. And we can see in the Bible what we need to do to be saved. We need to believe. And that comes through hearing the word of God and belief in it and the willingness to repent of our sins, to turn to the Lord, to confess with our mouth that we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to be immersed in water, baptized, to have our sins washed away, and then live faithfully unto death. And the Lord, our shepherd, promises that we will receive the crown of life. What a wonderful thing that is. Thank you so much for listening to our radio program.